Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. We talk a lot about football. We talk a lot about NFL news because this is a football talk show. We talk a lot about NBA, NCAA, World Cup football, soccer, as it's known in the United States, XFL, USFL. We are broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. And the time on deck is 8:04 a.m. It is 50 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California. Today's topic is NFL Thursday Night Football preview. However, I'm still trying to figure out who's playing on Thursday Night Football because since they started putting it all on Amazon Prime, I don't get to really follow it as much as I can. But anyway, if you'd like to call in to the show, it is 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687, and let me know who's playing on NFL Thursday Night Football. And we're also going to be talking about NFL football action for Week 12 coming up. The host will give predictions for NFL Thursday Night Football scores from NBA, NHL, World Cup, NCAA football, basketball, men's and women's. Those will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global listening audience. Again, our topic is NFL Thursday Night Football preview, Week 12. The host will give predictions for NFL Thursday Night Football scores from NBA, NHL, World Cup, NCAA football, for basketball, men's and women's. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global listening audience. So for those of you listening live, thank you for tuning in this morning, and thank you for those that are going to be listening to the replay of this episode. We thank you so much. We're almost at 500 views on the show, so I want to thank you guys so much out there that's been listening. The 5 or 10 of you that do listen, those streams and downloads do count, and I thank you so much for being a patron of the show. I put out yesterday for anyone that has a small business that would like to advertise on the show. You can direct message me on Twitter at Ferran Sports. That's at capital Ferrand, capital Sports. Put both words together at Ferran Sports on Twitter. You can direct message me if you're interested in putting some advertisement on the show. And that is, you can send in a 30-second MP3 for approval, and you can send in a 30-second script for me to read on air for approval. So direct message me on Twitter if you're a small business owner and you would like to run an ad on my show. And you can run that ad globally, but you would definitely need to make sure that it is in English. This is in English because this is an English-speaking show, unfortunately, if you're trying to send something in from other countries. We will advertise, but this is an English-speaking show, so I don't have to go through a whole bunch of translations. If you could please send everything in English, but we will advertise your product if it's approved. The other thing is the price for to run an advertisement on the show is going to be $200 a month. $200 a month to advertise on our show and in front of a live global listening audience, and for an audience that can download the episodes, so they can download the episodes and listen to these shows and your advertisement at a later date or a later time. However, anyway, again, for those of you just tuning in, this is your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Bear Radio Show. And our topic is NFL Thursday Night Football Preview Week 12. Those who give predictions for NFL Thursday Night Football, giving scores from NBA, NHL, World Cup, NCAA football, NCAA basketball, men's and women's. The hosts will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global listening audience. For all the professional armchair quarterbacks out there, you can call into the show at 515-602-9687. This is a football talk show, so we talk a lot about NFL. We talk about NBA, NCAA. We're going to be talking about some World Cup soccer while the World Cup is going on. We talk a lot about the XFL and the USFL because those pro developmental football leagues are going to be coming up playing in the spring soon. They'll be breaking for camp in about January, February time frame. Between January and March, they'll be breaking for camp and or forming up for camp, rather. And then the seasons will be kicking off probably around about February or March time frame. So I'm assuming that the XFL, they'll probably be having all their guys report to camp in January and then starting their season at the beginning of February. Then the USFL, they'll be starting their camp, I believe, in March. I want to make sure I'm giving you the right information. I believe USFL will be starting their camp in March, and then they'll probably be starting their season some maybe around about April 1st, so the two leagues, they're kind of like, I think about anywhere from a month and a half apart to 2 months apart for whatever reason. But anyway, we talk about everything on this show, anything that comes across the monitor. We talk about dog racing, American Kennel Club, camel racing, horse racing, UFC mud wrestling, pie-eating contest, hot dog-eating contest, badminton, water polo, anything that comes across the monitor as a recognized sport, we'll talk about it. If we don't know much about your sport, you can tell us about it. If you don't know much about the sports we're talking about on the show, we can teach you about it. At the same time, if you are a street phrase and athlete out there and you would like to come on the show and do a 30-minute interview, it is $100 to come on the show and tell your story to a live global listening audience. What we like to do is bring street free agents out here to tell their story, coming from high school to college to pro and where they are right now currently in free agency. We do this because we like to educate the high school kids that's trying to go to college, the college kids that are going to be coming out trying to get into the NFL draft and more than likely will become a street free agent. So we try to put different stories on the show so people can understand, can basically have a blueprint to navigate their career, again, from high school to college and college to pro and from pro to street free agency. So we bring a lot of guys on the show that come on and that's willing to tell their story. At the same time, if you're a hip-hop artist and you'd like to come on the show and talk about your current project, if you're a hip-hop artist or producer, R&B artist or producer, whatever, you know, you want to come on the show as well and talk about your journey, trying to make it from underground music to the mainstream, you can come on, same price, $100, and we'll give you a 30-minute interview as well. So we do try to help and entertainers on this show get their product some notoriety. All right. Anyway, let's get off into it. NFL Thursday Night Football preview, Week 12. I'm still trying to figure out across the monitor who's playing tonight on who's playing tomorrow on Thursday Night Football. Rather, they're playing tomorrow. I keep forgetting it's just Wednesday. So who they're playing on Thursday Night Football tomorrow is going to be playing the Thanksgiving game. I'm just trying to figure out who that's going to be, and I don't know if that's the Cowboys and the well, it might not be Thursday Night Football because it is Thanksgiving. I'm seeing across the monitor the Giants at the Cowboys, Cowboys minus 9.5 on Thanksgiving Day. That's 4 Eastern, so 1 Pacific in California. Cowboys 3-game losing streak. Cowboys 3-game losing streak on Thanksgiving. Are the Cowboys pinned for a letdown against the Giants? I doubt it. I don't see the Giants being able to beat the Dallas Cowboys the way they're playing defense. I'm not seeing it. You know, the Cowboys had a brief letdown in Green Bay, but, I mean, that's Green Bay. You know, that's Aaron Rodgers, not Daniel Jones. I don't see the Cowboys losing that game, not one bit. I'm going to be honest. I don't see the Cowboys losing that game at all. So I'm looking for a big Thanksgiving Day win for the Cowboys. Like I said, the sports book got them. The Vegas sports books have the Cowboys minus 9.5 against the Giants. So I'm figuring that they're looking at like at least one. There'll be at least a touchdown up on the Giants. I might say more. If they play like they did against the Minnesota Vikings, it's probably going to be another shutout type of game. So we'll see what happens. Dalvin Cook wasn't able to run much on the Cowboys, and I'm assuming that Saquon Barkley, another capable back, probably won't be able to run much on that Dallas defense either. And then the combination of Ezekiel Elliott and Pollard, you know, at running back, and then, you know, Pollard, you know, being able to catch the ball pretty good as well. You know, I'm seeing the total domination from the Dallas Cowboys over the New York Giants. Across the monitor also, Zach Wilson would not start Sunday against the Bears. This report came from Adam Schefter. He was 9 for 22, 77 yards, 24.5 total QBR in the 10-3 loss to New England. So Zach Wilson is going to be on the bench holding the clipboard for the game against the Bears, which makes sense because they need a guy that's been to the playoffs, been to the Super Bowl, like Joe Flacco has, to go ahead and steer these guys on into the playoffs. I mean, this is a 6-win New York Jets team. This is a 6-win New York Jets team. So they need some veteran leadership to go ahead on to push them forward. And I think if you look at their division, it's New England, New York Jets, the Dolphins, and who else is in their division in the AFC? I can't think of it right off the top of my head. It'll come to me. I think is it the Buffalo Bills? I believe so. It's the Bills, the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Patriots, all in that same division. So the New York Jets, they need some veteran leadership at the top right now, leading them into the playoffs, because this is a 6-win team. They could have easily been a 7-win team on Sunday. So, you know, they got to get Daniel Jones out of there. Not Daniel Jones, I'm sorry. They got to get Zach Wilson. They got to get Zach Wilson up out of there so they can go ahead and win. Speaking of the New York Giants and Daniel Jones, I believe they also are a 6-win team. But, you know, right now you got the Washington Commanders. They're playing good ball. They're on about a 5-game winning streak right now. They're nipping at everybody's heels. I mean, that division is tough. I mean, the worst team is a 5-win team. You know, you got the Cowboys. You got the Eagles sitting at top, 9-1. Then you got the Cowboys right behind them. They've won. I think they're on. They got 7 games. And then you got right behind them. You have who else we have in the NFC East. And they used to call it the NFC Least, but now you can't call it the NFC Least. The Giants, they're a 6-win team, and then the Washington Commanders, the 5-win team. So the worst team got 5 wins. That's a tough division. So anybody that's trying to play anybody that's going to play a team in the NFC East, formerly the NFC Least, if you're playing against anybody in that division, be ready. All those teams are playing ball, unlike my division. With the New Orleans Saints, the NFC South, everybody sucks. I think the best team in the division is a 5-win team, and that's Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right behind them are a 4-win team, 4-win or a 5-win team. I think they're a 5-win team, too. That's the Atlanta Falcons. But I think the tiebreaker is held by Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, because I believe they already beat the Falcons. Right behind that is the New Orleans Saints. We're a 5-win team. What are we? What are we now? A 4-win team. We're a 4-win team now. And then right behind that is the Carolina Panthers, which is a 3-win team. So, you know, our division, the NFC, sucks, because the best team in our division has only won 5 games, and that's led by the great Tom Brady, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Anyway, that's what's going on in the NFL. The NBA. What's going on in the NBA this morning? A lot of talk about the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets and Ben Simmons. Brooklyn Nets, Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving took the court last night. The Brooklyn Nets finally had their big three. And the big three was out there doing their thing. They didn't win, though. They lost by, I think, about 9 points. I think they lost by nine points against who were the Nets playing last night? It'll come back to me still early in the morning, the late night dog, and had his coffee yet. But that's one thing I like about this show. It's a professional impromptu show. That's why we call it Stogies and Beer. Just a bunch of gals sitting around talking sports, you know. Just a bunch of guys and gals. But the guys and gals sitting around talking about the sport they love, bantering about and boasting about the sport they love in the impromptu fashion. I call my style on this show professional impromptu. You know, and I keep it real. You know, it's early in the morning. I'm still trying to get my coffee in me and letting it cool down. Hadn't took the first sip. But last night, playing the Philadelphia 76ers, there we go. My brain is starting to wake up. The Nets are playing the Philadelphia 76ers without their top two players, Harden and Embiid. They were on the bench. And so they still was able to beat the Brooklyn Nets. The Sixers were still able to beat the Brooklyn Nets, and they had Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons on the court. You know, the Sixers were able to beat them by 9 points. But the thing about it, what people don't realize is this. Kyrie Irving has not been able to play basketball in the last 6 outings. And how many games can you play in how many games can you play? So let's say, how many weeks is a 6-game stretch? It's probably about 2 weeks. So he's been off the court and probably not able to participate in team activities for the last 2 weeks. And even if he was able to practice, he still wasn't able to play. When you play, you're honing your skills. You're sharpening your skills with your teammate. Iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. So he needed to be in those games the last 2 weeks. But because of all this, he posted up anti-Semitic comments, that he's anti-Semitic based on, because he told everybody to go and watch this movie. I haven't seen the movie. I was going to check it out, but I really don't even care to look at it. It is what it is. I could care less what these people post up on their personal pages, but I can't say that because his platform is so big, it probably wasn't a good idea for him to participate in the viewing of that movie when you have a platform that big and so many people that love and adore you and look up to you as a mentor and all different things like that. It probably wasn't a smart thing to put that up. But anyway, I don't want to get on that soapbox. I just want to say that Kyrie being back last night after not playing for probably about 2 weeks, he probably didn't do as well as he wanted to do. I don't have the numbers on him yet, but I will, once I see him, I will talk about him. But, when you're not playing ball, it's one of those things, you get a little rusty. Like one of my martial arts teachers used to tell me back in the day, he used to say, it takes you 6 months to get in shape. It takes you 6 months to get in shape, but it takes you 2 weeks to get out of shape, okay? NCAA news, reports are Deion Sanders are in talks with Colorado and the University of South Florida about a head coach position. Is Deion Sanders getting a fair shot at an FBS coaching gig? I'm hoping that Deion Sanders stays right where he's at Jackson State. They say he's a hot candidate right now. Deion Sanders in talks with Colorado and USF about a head coaching position. I'm hoping that Deion Sanders stays right where he at, because what's going to happen is he's getting ready for the Celebration Bowl. What they're going to do is make him go out now, and if he takes a job, he's going to have to start recruiting. He's going to have to start recruiting at another school for the other school that he'll take a job, and he's going to leave his team, Jackson State, and even his son out there, hung out to dry, as they say, to go and try to win the Celebration Bowl by themselves. I never like when they approach these coaches, during this bowl time, when people trying to get prepared for the playoffs, trying to get, if you're an FCS school, trying to get prepared for a bowl game, if you're an FBS school. I don't like that, because it forces guys to get out there, have to get out there immediately and start recruiting for their new school, recruiting for their new class. So I'm hoping that Deion Sanders does not consider taking another job at another school, University of South Florida or Colorado. And I am a Colorado Buffalo fan from back in the day when Eric Bieniemy was a running back. Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. A lot of people might not know this, but he was a heck of a running back for Colorado back in the day, back in the 90s. He was a hell of a running back, matter of fact. Eric Bieniemy, that whole team was tough. I like that team. But, if Deion Sanders go there, if he went to Colorado, I wouldn't be totally against it at the end of the day, but I really feel like I want him to stay at Jackson State. I want to stay at Jackson State because him being at Jackson State is bringing more attention to historical black colleges and universities. But at the end of the day, if he did leave, and if he is a sought-out candidate, I'm all for upward mobility. We have to be fair and be honest. At the end of the day, Deion Sanders, a megastar like him, he commands a six-figure salary, and Jackson State probably just can't pay him that. I think him being there the last 2 years, he gave him 2 years, got him going, got this awareness on the HBCU schools. He got all that. He did all that. I would hope that he would leave his son at Jackson State and leave him in good hands with a good coaching staff. I hope he would leave Shedeur Sanders there, quarterback, and let him continue his education at a HBCU and put a HBCU on the map, sort of like how Steve McNair did for Alcorn State and going into the pros and then going to a Super Bowl and almost winning. I think Steve McNair's team, Tennessee Titans, they only lost by a yard. They lost the Super Bowl by a yard against Kurt Warner and the Los Angeles Rams. That was a hell of a football game. Steve McNair against Kurt Warner and the Los Angeles Rams. Rams against the Tennessee Titans. I remember that game, and that probably was back in, what, 2001, I think, if I'm remembering right, right about 2000, 2001, somewhere up in there. But, yeah, heck of a game. But back to Deion Sanders, I think that Deion Sanders, you know, him being a hot candidate, he deserves to go somewhere and make a six-figure salary unless Jackson State can match it. But he probably wouldn't feel right having Jackson State pay that type of a salary because they don't have that kind of money. But would we be mad if Deion Sanders left Jackson State to just basically go head on and you know, make more money? I wouldn't be mad at him because everybody's not an Eddie Robinson. And I'm not talking about Eddie Robinson Jr. I'm talking about Eddie Robinson Sr. Everybody's not Coach Robinson, where – he could have left and went to the Rams. It was reported he could have left and went to the Rams in the NFL, and he probably could have left and went to a bigger college in like what we consider today a FBS school, definitely a FCS school. But Coach Eddie Robinson stayed at Grambling, and I'm from that area. I'm from Monroe, Louisiana, right outside of Grambling, about an hour away. So I just look at it like this. Coach Eddie Robinson could have left, but he loved Grambling. It wasn't about the money. It was about him developing athletes, keeping Grambling on the map, and putting athletes in the NFL from a black college. That's what his thing was. That's what his from my understanding, that's what his mission was. You know, what his life's mission was to do: mentor young men, make them responsible men in life and on the football field, and try to move them as far as he could up as far as the NFL goes, try to move them up to the NFL, give them a shot in the NFL. He put a lot of black players in the NFL, including the great Doug Williams and many more. So Eddie Robinson, you know, may he rest in peace. But Deion Sanders, you know, he might not have that same love for a black college, because first of all, he didn't go to a black college. I think he went to Florida State. That's an ACC school. And I think there was the argument with Eddie Robinson Jr., who's the current coach at Alabama State Hornets. He, I think when they, you know, they played each other, I think Deion Sanders then beat them 24-12, which to me, I mean, that wasn't like it was a blowout. They beat them by, you know, two scores. You know, a touchdown and a what? A touchdown and a what? 24-12. You win by, you know, that's you know, four field goals basically. You know, if you got 12 points, you they would score. I guess score four field goals. But I mean, it wasn't like Alabama State wasn't scoring. It was 24-12. You lost by 12 points. It looked like they just couldn't get in the red. In the red zone when they played Jackson State. But the point I'm making is that when they had an embrace after the game, I guess Coach Eddie Robinson Jr. took exception to some pregame antics or whatever they were saying before the game. And he was like, you know, after he didn't want to embrace Coach Prime with a bro hug, you know, he said a handshake would do. That was good enough. He didn't want to do the bro hug thing. He didn't want an embrace. And so he walked kind of like pulled away from him. And, you know, that caused a big scene. Coach Prime was like, you know, what the heck going on with you, man? Why you got an attitude? You know, we won this game fair and square or whatever. But Eddie Robinson Jr. was later saying in his interview that Deion Sanders ain't swag. I mean, when you say you ain't swag, that's just meaning that you didn't go to no black college. You were an ACC guy, former NFL guy, coming down here, bringing your media savvy and all these kind of things like this here. You bringing all this attention to black colleges based on your personal success. That's fine, but you're not SWAT. I'm SWAT, meaning like maybe he's saying that he went to a SWAT school. His father is a legendary SWAT coach, being the legendary coach Eddie Robinson. May he rest in peace. But that's the big thing with, you know, with Deion Sanders. A lot of people looking at it like if he, you know, not a lot of people. Let me speak for myself. I feel like that if Deion Sanders left, I wouldn't be surprised. He's not a SWAT guy. Meaning, I mean, he is SWAT because he's coaching in the SWAT now, but he's not a SWAT guy. You know, when they probably was trying to recruit him back in the day, I'm quite sure FAMU, I'm not sure of it, but I really feel like I can be quite sure that FAMU, Florida A&M University, might have went after Deion Sanders. They might have went after the Michael Irvings back in the day. But, these, you know, when Miami and Florida State are down there throwing money out there, you're going to go where the money is. And so now he's coming back, and he's coaching at a SWAC school, not just him. I think we had Eddie George last year at Tennessee State. I don't know if he's still there. But we have at Grambling State right now, we have Hugh Jackson. We got Hugh Jackson now at Grambling State. And he's trying to, he's trying to put Grambling, you know, back on the map. He has a pretty much a big freshman class. Most of his team is freshmen. He got a lot of freshmen on his team, so he'll be all right because he's gonna have that same team for the next 3 years. And eventually, they'll be good. Eventually, they're gonna eventually get good. But yeah, you know, Deion Sanders being sought out after some FBS schools, Colorado and University of South Florida. He'll be right at home at South Florida, I'm assuming, if he goes back down there, because, you know, if I'm correct, he's a Florida guy. Yeah. But anyway, I wouldn't be surprised if he jumps ship. More money. He deserves to make more money to take care of his family and take care of himself. He deserves to be at a bigger school so he could probably work his way back up into an NFL position as a defensive back coach, defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, whatever he wants to do, or maybe even a head coach in the NFL. So I'm all for upward mobility. And at the same time, he wasn't a SWAT guy. He didn't go to a SWAT school. He went to ACC school. He wasn't a SWAT athlete. He was an ACC athlete. So if the word comes out, hey, Coach Prime is not going to be coaching his team for the Celebration Bowl coming up in December in Atlanta, he's going to be out recruiting for the University of South Florida or the University of Colorado, which is a Big 12 school, if I'm correct. So anyway, yeah, a lot of stuff going on. In World Cup action, I'm trying to see who Friday in World Cup action, we got the U.S. and England in World Cup. That's the next big game. We tied with Wales day before yesterday. We tied with Wales and they're in 1-1 tie. But on Friday, we got to play England, and we'll see what happens in World Cup action. If you'd like to call in and talk to the host, correct the host, debate the host, call in to 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. The time on deck is 8:32 a.m. Pacific Coast time. And it is 50 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California. Our topic for today, for those of you just tuning in, is NFL Thursday Night Football Preview Week 12. But I probably got my topic mixed up, and I'm gonna tell you I apologize, but I was forgetting that Thursday is actually Thanksgiving, so they're probably not going to have a Thursday Night Football game. Everything is going to be for Sunday. We're going to be considered Sunday Night Football, if I'm correct. Everything will be – the night game will be ran on NBC Sunday Night Football program because it's going to be a Thanksgiving holiday. So I don't know who's playing the night game, but, you know, that. So I apologize for putting up Thursday Night Football Week 12 preview. It's actually going to just be Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving slate week 12. But anyway, in NBA action, we got some NBA scores. Kings 113, Grizzlies 109. The Kings 113 over the Grizzlies 109. We also had the Clippers at the Warriors tonight at 10 Eastern. Clippers at the Warriors. That's going to be a good game. I don't think that Kawhi Leonard is going to be playing again. We got the Pistons 110 over the Nuggets 108. Pistons 110, Nuggets 108. Pistons pulled out a win. I think they're the worst team in the league right now from what I was hearing last night from all the media experts. So Pistons 110, Nuggets 108. Again, big game tonight, Clippers at the Warriors. I'll be watching that. 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, Clippers at the Warriors. Trying to see if my man Kawhi Leonard is going to be in that game. I'm hoping so. We're moving on with this NBA season, and I haven't heard much about Kawhi Leonard. The Lakers fall to the Suns, 115 to 105. Suns beat the Lakers, 115 to 105. So the Lakers dropped one more. I saw that game last night. LeBron James was out. He's out with some kind of abductor injury. But AD looked like he played a good game, but he wasn't able to overcome the Suns. And then that game got a little chippy with Patrick Beverley, you know, dropping DeAndre Ayton at the end of the game, because I guess Booker and Ayton were standing over Reeves, were standing over top of him, you know, trying to let him know that he wasn't dominant enough for them. And so as they were standing over Austin Reeves, Patrick Beverley came in, and, you know, they say he pushed DeAndre Ayton in the back and knocked him down, you know, for standing over his teammate, but I don't think he pushed him in his back. It looked like to me he came in kind of like from the side or kind of catacorner. You know, some could look at it like it was behind him, but it was more like halfway behind him, halfway to his side. But at the end of the day, like Patrick Beverley says, I'm a foxhole guy. I get out in the trenches with my guys, and whatever team I sign on for, I'm gonna be loyal to that team, loyal to those team members, and loyal to the city, loyal to the fans. And if I see somebody coming at them in any kind of way, I'm a foxhole guy. I don't play that. So, you know, kudos to Patrick Beverley. I don't mind a guy putting somebody on their butt. You know, protect yourself at all times. The way I look at it, when it's in the heat of battle, you know, when you battling, you know, you're in a fight, you know, you got to be looking around, keep your head on the swivel. You don't know where it's coming from. And unfortunately, DeAndre Ayton didn't keep his head on the swivel last night, and he paid for it because Patrick Beverley checked him. And, you know, he'll get over it. He'll be all right. They get paid handsomely for this type of stuff. Now, I will say that when Chris Paul was standing there a couple years ago, standing there talking to somebody, and then he came up and pushed Chris Paul in the back, and it wasn't in the heat of battle. His body was totally relaxed, and he wasn't expecting to be assaulted by anyone because the game was over. So when Patrick Beverley came and pushed him in the back, you know, on a personal vendetta. I don't agree with that one. I don't agree with that one. I don't have to agree with everything somebody do, but that's one I don't agree with. But the one last night, you know, 2-on-1, dude came and checked the other guy for standing over, being one of the culprits, standing over his teammate. I ain't got no problem with it. Some of the media experts, they're looking at it like, oh, you know, he a dirty player. He shouldn't have done that. This is the second time, you know, this a second time against this team. He got something against his team. I guess Monty Williams was complaining last night. And if you'd like to call in and debate me about this topic, Nathan Beverley pushing DeAndre Ayton down as him and Devin Booker were standing over Reeves for the Lakers. And Nathan Patrick Beverley came in and pushed DeAndre Ayton down. If you want to call in and debate whether Patrick Beverley was right for doing it or wrong for doing it, call in to 515-602-9687. But getting back to the topic Lakers and the Suns. The Suns did defeat the Lakers 115-109, if I'm correct. But the big thing about that game is that the fight, the altercation at the end of the game where Pat Bev pushed DeAndre Ayton, looks like to me from the side. Some people say, no, it wasn't from the side. It was from the back. It looked like kind of like catacorded. But like I said, this is an altercation. And in an altercation, you need to keep your head on the swivel because you got two guys on one guy, and you got four guys four other guys standing there from another team, you need to keep your head on the swivel. DeAndre Ayton didn't keep his head on the swivel, and guess what? He got dropped. On the monitor, they're saying LeBron James to return Friday at the Spurs. Do we still believe LeBron will break Kareem's scoring record this season? Report LeBron James to return Friday at the Spurs. Do we still believe LeBron will break Kareem's scoring record this season? I don't think so. I think he'll eventually do it. I don't think it'll be this season. At the same time, I don't see the rush. LeBron James has played a whole lot of games. He has a whole lot of wear and tear on that body. He has a whole lot of wear and tear on that body for this season. I don't think he should even try to. I think he's trying to just, like, you know, he pace it out. I think he'll do it. But I don't even see why he needs to break that scoring title. I'm not a stat guy. The only thing I count is chips. And he's been to a championship seven times. I think he got three of them. Kareem, he may have three or four, if I'm correct himself. But, I mean, LeBron's legacy is LeBron's legacy. I mean, he's arguably based on, you know, this modern era from Michael Jordan up to this point. He's arguably the second best player in NBA history. And don't get me wrong, it's a whole lot of other players back in the day. You know, you got the Bob Cousys, you got the doggone Bill, you know, got Bill Russell. You got Jerry West. You got all these guys, these legends from back in the day. You know, Pat Riley. You got all these different legends from back in the day. Oscar Robinson. You know, you got a lot of legends and notable names from back in the day. So, I mean, you know, I'm not discounting anything those guys did either. Not discounting any of the things that the former legends from the pre-Jordan era did. You know, we got so many guys. You could say, you know, a lot of guys could be arguably the best player of the game. And again, like I said, Bill Russell, I think, what do you have, 11 championships? 11. I mean, the man probably had, I think he had more championships than he could put on his fingers. He didn't have enough fingers for all the rings. So back in the days, the Celtics were unbeatable. So let's kind of like figure out during Bill Russell's era, who all was on that team. If I'm correct, Bob Cousy played with Russell. And so many other guys. So, I mean, how many legends were on that team? But, I mean, they say Bill Russell arguably could have been the greatest player ever. I mean, he had about 11 chips, if I'm correct. Maybe had more. So, you know, when you start talking about who's the best, who's this, who's that, you know, it's a lot of people that we could throw in that conversation. Who's the greatest? You know, just like in boxing, a lot of people consider Muhammad Ali the greatest. And then, you know, I used to always wonder, well, how can you say somebody's the greatest, but they lost a few fights? I think Ali lost about four, maybe five fights in his lifetime. No, he lost one to Frazier. No, he lost one to Trevor Burbick, Larry Holmes. That's three. One, Ken Norton. That's four. Michael Leon Spinks. That's five. I think those are that he lost in his career. Those five right there. If he lost anybody else, I can't remember. I think those are only five fights that Muhammad Ali lost. And the more notable losses, like I said, that really counted was the one with Frazier and the one with Ken Norton. I think he started to age a little bit when he lost to Leon Spinks. And then moving on from there, Larry Holmes and definitely Trevor Burbick. Not trying to take nothing away from Trevor Burbick, because Trevor Burbick was the WBC champion when he fought Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson dethroned him, and Trevor Burbick was a hell of a fighter too. He came in there and he fought Mike Tyson, but it was just one of those fights to where somebody was going to go. Either if Tyson wasn't going to go, it was going to be Trevor Burbick, and Tyson's head movement back in the day was just arguably too much for Trevor Burbick. And he was able to, you know, move his head and come up with those hooks and uppercuts against the taller Trevor Burbick and beat him. And Trevor Burbick wasn't really that much taller than Mike Tyson, but he was taller. And Mike Tyson just knew how to get up under him, knew how to get down low, come up with hooks and uppercuts, body shots. Mike knew how to place his punches. As a 20-year-old young man, he knew how to place his punches. And he got Trevor Burbick up out of there. And it's just like in boxing, they just, like I said, who's the greatest? They say Muhammad Ali. Some people could say Mike Tyson. Some people say Mike Tyson. Some people could say Evander Holyfield. Lennox Lewis, a man who avenged all his losses and was a dominant force in the heavyweight picture. So it's like, who's the greatest in any of these sports? I don't think it's really a fair topic. Everybody's kind of like great in their own right. And the greatest is the greatest in your own mind. So going back to the topic of basketball, LeBron James trying to break Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record this season. I don't think LeBron James needs to do that. I really don't. I mean, he's great in his own right already. I hate stats. I hate these statisticians. You know, these math nerds has basically figured out a whole new genre of the sport with all this status statistics and the way we coach, the way we pick players. Statistically, the stats say don't pick that guy. With all this data, the statistical data says run this play. Statistical data says don't do this in this situation. Statistical data says this player ain't going to be better than that player based on the statistics of this and the statistics of that. I hate the word. I can't even hardly say it. Statistics. I can't stand it. Couldn't stand it in the fact that they made me want to make me take the course in mathematics just to get my associate's degree. Well, you got to take statistics. That's why I don't have my associate's degree now. Went to school, got everything else done. Still had to went back to get my math requirement just to get my associate's degree. Why? Because of that. Statistics. I hate math. I know math is needed. I know it's needed for science, medicine, engineering, and all that stuff. So, you know, if I would get some money, I'd always donate money to science, engineering, and math and stuff like that. I'd always donate money to it. I'm not into mathematics, though, me myself. I know it's needed. It's needed more than any other subject. But me myself, I hate math. It wasn't for me. But anyway, I hate statistics, and I hate the fact that they put it in the sports because a lot of these football teams, that's all they're dealing with. Oh, the stats say don't run this play. The stats say in this situation that this particular type of play is more successful, when you should be going with your gut feeling saying, no, we worked on this in practice, and we're going to run this damn play, and we're going to run it because my gut tells me it's going to work. And so that's the way I like coaching and all this stat stuff. Like, oh, Kareem record going to get broke by LeBron James this year, possibly. If I was LeBron James, I could care less. He don't need to do that. He don't need to do that. LeBron James did not need to try to break Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record. I would be trying to get healthy, and I probably wouldn't play much until after the All-Star break. I'd probably come back strong after the All-Star break. I wouldn't play much. I would be like playing every three games. Now, when you go to a small market like New Orleans, something like that, San Antonio, you play those games. Like, he's playing in San Antonio, and I get that. I get the fact that he's playing in San Antonio because at the end of the day, there's a small market, and the people pay tickets to see LeBron James on the basketball court. So small school games, small budget towns, you know, like the San Antonio Spurs, New Orleans Pelicans. Yeah, he got to play those games, but I wouldn't be playing like anything outside of that, you know, if I didn't have to. If I really didn't have to, I wouldn't play him because he got an abductor injury. I believe that's in a stomach muscle pull, and he's probably needing to rest that. So, you know, we'll see what happens with LeBron in the next couple of days. Now, for those of you just tuning in, this is the Thogas and Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Thogas and Beer Radio Show. Thogas and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and talk about the sport he or she loves the most. We talk about dog racing, camel racing, pie eating contests, hot dog eating contests. We talk a lot about NFL because this is a football talk show, but we do cover NBA, NCAA, World Cup soccer since it's World Cup season. And we also talk about XFL, USFL, being the fact that spring is coming up and camps are going to be forming up after the new year for pro-developmental football opportunities. So we talk a lot about the XFL and the USFL, speaking of which the XFL completed their draft last week on the two-day draft on the 16th and the 17th. So congratulations again to all of those guys that were drafted for XFL opportunity. And also congratulations to all those guys that are currently getting contracts to play for the United States Football League. They're still building their rosters. I'm still submitting some players and everything like that. Also, Fan Control Football, they got a series of workouts coming, and they got a good platform. They're on TV every Saturday, twice a day on Saturdays during springtime. I had a couple guys playing. I had a couple guys playing in the Fan Control Football League, and they enjoyed it. And they moved on for their to play in the Indoor Football League, which is going to line them up for an opportunity for the XFL. Being the fact that the Indoor Football League is now the official minor league partner of the XFL, so they'll be able to send players down to the IFL, and IFL players will be able to send players up to the XFL and back and forth and doing some joint workouts and stuff like that. So it's a good opportunity for my guys that was able to go into IFL rosters. One of them is with the Northern Arizona Wranglers. That's Nate Bresson. And we have Henry Kellogg. He's with the Tucson Sugar Skulls. And we have Big Jacob AU, offensive lineman, with the Tucson Sugar Skulls as well. So I got all three of my guys on the West Coast in Arizona. And all of them are from back east where it's cold. So they're going to get a little bit of touch of sunshine and being, you know, being in the heat for about 6 months. So, guys, definitely put on your sunscreen. So, yeah, big things coming up in sports and everything like that for pro developmental football and pro developmental football with the XFL and the USFL. Big things coming up for those guys that are still seeking an opportunity to try to work their way up to the NFL. So that I'm really excited for my guys that are getting opportunities. I also have a couple other rookies from last year that didn't get an opportunity to play because they probably came to me too late. And but they're going to be seeking their first opportunity to play professionally. I got about five guys in that situation. I'm trying to get them to do the Fan Control Football workout so they could get some notoriety on TV because guys did get drafted from the Fan Control Football. A young man that I know had sent his film out and everything, tried to do some stuff for him, Bryson Aileen out of Delaware State, HBCU, Bryson Aileen out of Delaware State. He got picked up. I think he was the last one picked in the offensive skills group. And then out of the offensive skill player group, he was the last one to get picked. That's Bryson Aileen. So congratulations again to Bryson Aileen from getting drafted into the XFL. And then they had another receiver that was in the Fan Control Football League. I think his name was A.J. Jamil. And he got picked up. Jamil was a high-level receiver in Fan Control Football. I mean, he could catch that ball from all angles. He could catch the ball from all angles. He's a slot wide receiver, if I'm correct, but he got drafted to the XFL. So congratulations to A.J. Jamil. Then I also forgot that Mitch Kidd, in the open draft, quarterback Mitch Kidd, he got picked for the XFL as well. So congratulations to quarterback Mitch Kidd out of the FCF. So when free agents, street free agents, when you say there's no opportunity in Fan Control Football League, oh, yes, it is. Yeah, it is. Because some of those guys in Fan Control Football got picked up for the XFL. And so that's a big thing. And, again, the Fan Control Football League, they have a television partner in NBC. So go back to my last couple of episodes, and you'll hear me giving out those dates for Fan Control Football. I think the first one is on January the 8th in Atlanta, Georgia. So I got a couple guys going to that one. They need to get out there and do that. And I'm trying to send their film and everything ahead of time. So when they get there, they're not doing a tryout, cattle call tryout like everybody else will be doing. They'll actually be doing a workout because they can actually walk up to somebody and say, hey, my manager told me to contact, get in touch with you or whatever. Or even if for some reason I don't have a contact that's on the field that day, they can at least let the people that's running the camp know that, hey, can I have your email so my manager can forward my film to you directly, but my film is in the system and they can give them their name and everything like that so they can look them up or whatever, because they will be in the system. I don't send my guys somewhere and nobody knows that they're coming. Somebody got to know they're coming. Whether that person will be at the workout or not, somebody got to know that they're coming so we can double back and have that person give us some notes on their performance and see if we can have any future opportunities with that league. So, you know, on the monitor in NFL news, they're saying breaking news, you know, they're saying that Robert Saleh, he's at the podium right now, or was at the podium talking about benching Zach Wilson. He should bench Zach Wilson because Zach Wilson's been playing like stir fry. Zach Wilson has been playing like stir fry. So I'm not surprised that Coach Saleh had to bench him. I mean, I would have benched him too. Probably should have been benched a long time ago and put Joe Flacco in. Some of these young quarterbacks need to sit back and look. Go a Super Bowl caliber quarterback who has won the Super Bowl, who has been in the playoffs deep with the Baltimore Ravens. He was not a game manager. He was an actual quarterback. He participated in games as a quarterback, not a game manager, not a running quarterback, as a traditional, I'm a stand in the pocket quarterback. From what I remember of him playing, he wasn't a scrambler. He was just I'm going to stay in the pocket, and I'm going to try to outdo Tom Brady. I'm going to try to outdo Peyton Manning. I'm going to try to outdo Eli Manning. He was a traditional, I'm going to stand in the pocket quarterback that went to the Super Bowl. He's not like a Trent Dilfer. No disrespect to Trent Dilfer. He's not a quarterback like that. That was like, hey, I'm just going to, as long as I just don't screw it up. Manage the game, don't screw it up. And I'm surprised that Dilfer even played like that, you know, when they say he was a game manager. Because, I mean, he seems to me to be a quarterback savant. I mean, he's a great high school, he's running a great high school football program. And he comes on the monitor a lot, talking to a lot of the media experts. And he seems to know what the heck he's talking about when it comes down to the quarterback position. Kind of reminds me of one of my players that use my management services, Corey. Corey Murphy. I'm still drinking my coffee, people. I apologize, Corey, if you listen to this episode. But yeah, my quarterback, Corey Murphy, that uses my management services. He's a quarterback savant. I can get him on the phone at any time and just sit back and talk quarterback play. He'll tell me exactly what the quarterback is doing. And Trent Dilfer is that same kind of guy. So I kind of like look at my guy, Corey Murphy, at the pro developmental level. He's a quarterback savant, just like Trent Dilfer is on the monitor. But Trent Dilfer was a game manager, unlike Joe Flacco. And I think both of them played for the Ravens at one time. Joe Flacco was a because matter of fact, Trent Dilfer has a ring with the Baltimore Ravens and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if I'm remembering right. If you're listening to the show and you want to call in and correct me, call in to 515-602-9687. Again, the guest call-in line to correct me or debate me is 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687, to call in to the show and just put your button, to put your hand up saying that you want me to come to you on the air, and then we'll get you on the show. We're going to go off into a quick station break here in a couple minutes, but today's topic again was supposed to be NFL Thursday Night Football and Thursday Night Football preview week 12, but it's going to be more so, it should have been NFL holiday weekend preview week 12. So I apologize for that, because there's probably not going to be an actual Thursday Night Football game, being the fact that it is probably going to be trumped by Sunday Night Football. I think we should have Sunday Night on Thursday night, Thanksgiving night, and then we're going to probably start rolling off into a lot of the maybe the FCF football playoff games after the Thanksgiving weekend. I know we should have the Army-Navy game coming up after Thanksgiving on Saturday. We should have the I think the Army-Navy game is coming up this weekend. The Bayou Classic is coming up this weekend. The Iron Bowl is coming up this weekend. So we got a lot of stuff going on. And if the Army-Navy game ain't this weekend, it might be the week after. I think it might be the week after, because I think the Army-Navy game is actually the last college football game played on the regular schedule. That's America's game. That's America's game. So I'm going to be rooting for my Navy midshipmen, being the fact that I was a Navy vet of 11 years. So I'm going to be rooting for my midshipmen, although a lot of my, about three guys that use my management services played football at Army West Point, Edgar Poe, Jeffy Jeckham, and Josh Jenkins. They all played at Army West Point. And but out of us four, I'm the lone Navy guy. So, you know, we don't really give each other too much flack during the Army-Navy week, but they know that I go for Navy, and I know that they're loyal to Army because that's their alma mater. But anyway, it is 9 o'clock, top of the hour. We're going to go off into our music mix, and I'm going to take a quick station break. Everybody stand by, and we'll be back. Welcome back to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBESC. That's WBEST, Chula Vista, California. Time on deck is 9:13 a.m. It is 50 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California. This is Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, and our topic today is NFL Thursday Night Football Preview Week 12. Thursday Night Football is actually going to be Sunday Night Football. It won't be the normal Thursday Night Football that plays on Amazon Prime, which I hate that they put Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime because I don't get to see the games because I don't subscribe to Amazon Prime. But anyway, luckily this Thursday night will be the Thanksgiving night football, NFL football slate on Sunday Night Football on NBC. And we got a slate of games. I believe the Cowboys and the Giants are playing and a few other teams. Normally the Detroit Lions play on Thanksgiving, so I'm quite sure they're playing against somebody. But as I look at the monitor, we'll update you on who's going to be playing on Thanksgiving and all that good stuff. But breaking news today, the New York Jets and Robert Saleh has decided to bench Zach Wilson for the next game coming up this weekend. So Robert Saleh, the head coach for the New York Jets, has decided to go ahead on and bench Zach Wilson. I guess they're going to go ahead and do the smart thing and put Joe Flacco out there to go ahead on and get him a spark and get him a win this week and possibly keep him playing all the way into the playoffs. I think that's the right move. I think Zach Wilson has had his opportunity. It's a six win team, and they should be a seven win team after this past since this past weekend. They should have been a seven win team because they lost the game after being tied up 3-3 all the way to the last little bit of the game where they kicked the punt. They punted the football, and then the young man, the returner for the Patriots, ran it all the way back, you know, with no time left on the clock. So, you know, they did say it was a questionable block in the back. I kind of thought that too. Thought it was a block in the back, but I'm probably gonna side with the refs on this one. It was already a tight game. You know, neither offense was really doing much, so I'm probably not calling that foul. Because some people say it's block in the back. Some people say it's kind of like off to the side. Some might have said it was catacornered. Kind of like a bang bang hit, kind of cat a quarter. He was aiming at him when he was probably halfway turned to the side, and then when he probably finally made contact, it was kind of like might have been like bang bang and hit him in the back. But if I'm the referee, I wouldn't call it that either. If I'm the one of the referees or the umpire, I'm not calling that because there was already not a lot of offense in the game. Let the game end on a high note. Let it end on a high note. Ain't that much time left. Ain't no point in trying to go into overtime. And neither one of these guys can convert on offense. So I say it was a good call. Let it go. The game ended on a high note. It was hot. It was a exciting moment. Exciting moment and an exciting way to win that game for the New England Patriots. But is it time for Zach Wilson to be benched? Yes. So I'm glad that Robert Saleh decided to go ahead on the bench, Zach Wilson, put him on the bench, let him hold the clipboard for a while, put the headset on and kind of like learn from a vet like Joe Flacco on how to lead a team into the playoffs, especially when you got six wins already and you can get five more wins and have an 11-win season. So that division, the Dolphins, the Jets, the Buffalo Bills, and the New England Patriots, you know, the Dolphins are running the division, but I think everybody else in the division got at least about five wins, at least five or six wins. So it's still a competitive division there. So and the Jets still have an opportunity to at least finish second place in that division and be in line for a wild card opportunity. They can be in line for a wild card spot. And I think the NFL, I was going to say, I think they added one more wild card game, but I'm mistaken. They haven't done that. That's baseball. Baseball added, you know, two more teams to their wild card series. if I'm correct. So not football. But anyway, the Jets do have an opportunity. They do have an opportunity to get a wild card spot. They already got 6 wins, so if they can, you know, squeeze out 4 or 5 more wins, have a 10-win, 11-win season, they could possibly get an AFC wild card berth. So that's why they need to go ahead and bring in Joe Flacco and go ahead on and sit Zach Wilson down. That's why they need to go ahead on and sit him down. It's time for him to get out the way, watch from a vet, and then, you know, if Flacco starts to struggle or whatever, you know, going into the playoffs or in the playoffs, then you can bring Zach Wilson in, and maybe, you know, him being the younger guy, maybe he can correct some of his mistakes, and they bring him back in, and he can go ahead on and get him at least a playoff win or a playoff berth. So we'll see how it goes. But I think that he does need to sit down for a while. But that's the big news on the monitor today. In NBA action, you know, we got the Clippers and the Clippers are playing tonight. It's a big game. I got to wait for it to come back up on the monitor. But it's a big game for the Clippers tonight. I forgot who they're playing, but it'll come back up on the monitor. But I'm hoping that Kawhi Leonard is going to play tonight. I haven't seen him play much. I guess he's still on load management. They say he has some soreness in his knee. It's crazy, you know, because you have to start wondering, is it just Kawhi being Kawhi, or is it Kawhi actually in a lot of pain? I don't know. This thing with Kawhi Leonard and this load management, he is a straight load manager. And Kawhi's like, it seems to me that he ain't going to do much if he don't have to. You know, and I'm a big Kawhi Leonard fan because he went to San Diego State and I'm here in San Diego. And so it's like, I'm a big Kawhi fan, but I'm just like, hey, man, can you get on the court, though? Can you get on the court and help this team win some of these games that they're losing? Because with him on the court, it changes the whole dynamic of everything. It changes the whole dynamic, changes the whole outcome of Kawhi Leonard being on the court with Paul George and the rest of the guys. But him being on the bench, you know, I mean, I don't know. That's why I have to give LeBron James a lot of credit, because if he says that, hey, he's going to do load management, I understand. LeBron James is always in the postseason. He's always in postseason. You know, so I think the only time that he wasn't in postseason might have been last year, where they basically, you know, they didn't make the playoffs and he was able to finally go home and let his body heal up. But yet again, you know, he got an abductor injury. Why is that? You know, Father Time is undefeated. He has an abductor injury, and I think that's a muscle in the stomach. You know, one of his abdominal muscles are strained, and, you know, it causes you to not be able to pretty much perform your job at the highest level. But LeBron James is a player that's always in the postseason, so I'm not surprised that injuries are happening to him. And I wouldn't be upset with him if he said, hey, I'm going to start practicing, you know, load management. I'm going to start, you know, resting my body up until it's time for to go play some of these small market teams, because the small market teams, the fans, they deserve to see them. You know, the big market teams, you know, they're big market teams. They can see LeBron James anytime or whatever, and, you know, but these small market teams, you know, they deserve, because the fans, they don't, you know, it's a small market team deserves to see the stars. When the stars come to town, they want to see the stars on the court. So definitely you got to play those games. If you're an NBA star, you go to the small market, New Orleans, San Antonio, areas like that, you know, you need to be on the court. You need to be on the court. But overall, if LeBron James decided he was going to do load management, I understand. Because, you know, he's getting older. He's always out there. He's always in the postseason. But Kawhi Leonard, I'm like, you know, I don't get it. I don't know what's going on with that knee. Or I think at first it was the thigh muscle, and then, you know, when he was in San Antonio, and then that turned into a whole other thing. He wound up going to Canada, winning the chip there. Then when he came back to the States, he was with the Clippers. And then with the Clippers, you know, I think he tore his ACL or something. MCL, ECL, something, and just, you know, since then, I think he just been, you know, He missed the season. He missed the whole season, if I'm correct. He got hurt in the playoffs when they was in the bubble, if I'm correct. Then he missed the whole season after that because of the whatever he strained or tore. I think he strained his, either he tore his Achilles or he strained the ACL or MCL in his knee. But whatever the case may be, he's been up and down, you know, this season. And I thought that he's going to be ready to go. But, again, you know, I don't understand it. I just know that we need him. That's what I know. I know that we need him on the basketball court because sometimes, you know, it's some games that we're losing that we should really be winning. So anyway, latest college football power rankings are number one, Georgia, number two, Ohio State, number three, Michigan, number four, TCU. Does number seven, Alabama, still have a path to the college football playoffs? Does number seven, Alabama, still have a path to the college football playoffs? No, they don't. They're out. They're out this time. Alabama, Roll Tide, they're out. They're out this time. You know, when they lost the game to LSU and then they lost to Tennessee, they kind of like put a fork in them. They lost to Tennessee, then they lost to LSU. They put a fork in them. So they're not going to be able to participate in the college football playoff this year, the 14 playoff. They're not going to be able to participate in that. So, yeah, they're out. I think they got it right, the rankings, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, they got it right. I'm looking for TCU to get bumped, by somebody because if LSU beats Georgia, TCU's getting bumped, and we're going to be in that spot. If LSU can win the SEC championship, if we can win the SEC championship against Georgia in, I think, about 2 weeks, TCU's getting bumped. I'm sorry. They're going to be down in the 5 and 6 area. They're going to get bumped because that's just the way it is. I mean, LSU – is a bigger program, stiffer competition, you know, in the SEC, and TCU deserves to get bumped. I mean, I'm happy to see them be at number four right now. They deserve it. And when they went out there and got a quality win against a solid Texas team, I ain't going to say it's a good Texas team. I'm going to say a solid Texas team. When they went out there and won that game, you know, that showed, okay, all right, you know, they earned their number four spot in the playoff this week, but however, they're just like they're on the bubble. I consider that number four spot, that's a bubble spot. 4, 5, 6, that's a bubble spot. You know, it's just their four spot, that's a bubble spot, and because 5 and 6 is right there, If TCU does anything wrong, have any snafus, if LSU wins the SEC championship outright, they're going into the playoffs. They're going into the playoffs, and they're going to be contending for the national championship. And this is Brian Kelly's first year. I'm excited. I like the freshman on defense, Herb Pickens Jr. That kid can play all day long. That's easily he's going to be in the NFL in 2 years. They're saying that he's a freshman and he still doesn't know everything on the defense yet. He's still learning. Well, if he's still learning, good Lord. When he actually learns the playbook, actually learns how to play at the college level correctly, that young man's going to be nasty. And I wouldn't keep him in college no more than 2 years. I say send him on to the NFL immediately. Let him learn on the field. Let him cut his teeth in the NFL after 2 years of college. No 3-4 year college guy at him, unless he just wants to do that. But I say send him on to the NFL. Let him go ahead and make his money. That's a Sunday player. And I don't have to be an expert to know that. That is a Sunday. That's a Sunday player. That's a Sunday player. So I had to check my mic to make sure my mic was unmuted because when I'm on my station break, I mute my mic. So y'all don't hear all this rattling around while I'm doing my music mix, but I have to make it a habit to look down at my phone to make sure that my mic is unmuted, and it is. And I do recall trying to do that as I was coming back on air. I do remember hitting my mic, but I'm glad I'm just teaching myself to constantly look down to make sure that my voice is coming across the airwaves and everything like that. So, yeah, when it's all said and done, when it's all said and done, you know, we have to try to put out a good quality product on the air, try to put out a good quality product and everything like that. So that's the good thing. Somebody's trying to call me right now, but they must have forgot that I'm doing my radio show. But anyway, I had to let that person know. Had to let that person know that I'm on air. A lot of times, people call me when I'm on the airways. They forget that I'm still my show is not over until the next 30 minutes. So anyway, for those of you just tuning in, time on deck is 9:27 a.m. Pacific Coast time. This is the Stogie the Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. And it is 50 degrees and sunny, 50 degrees sunny in San Diego, California. And our topic today is NFL Thursday Night Football Preview Week 12, which we made a mistake in the topic. It should have been NFL Holiday Football Preview Week 12, because there is no Thursday Night Football this time. There won't be an Amazon game. Thank God. It'll actually be Sunday Night Football covering the Thursday night slot on NBC. I don't know who's playing in that game, but that's going to be Sunday Night Football is going to cover the Thursday night game. Broncos -2 at the Panthers Sunday, 11 Eastern. Russell Wilson praises new Broncos play caller Clint Kubiak. He's a tremendous coach. Clint Kubiak, he's a tremendous coach. Russell Wilson is praising Clint Kubiak. He's a tremendous coach. I guess this son, Clint Kubiak, must be Gary Kubiak's son, former head coach for the Denver Broncos. Russell Wilson giving him praises, but, I mean, did they even win the other day? I think they lost. I think they lost to the Raiders. I think the Raiders beat them the other day. So, you know, on Sunday, I think the Raiders beat them on Sunday, if I'm correct. I have to go back and check my notes, but I think whoever the Broncos played this past Sunday, they didn't win. I think they lost this past Sunday. But I think they said that Russell Wilson actually played a pretty good game, but they lost a tight game. But I don't know what's going on with Russell Wilson. My thing is, I think that what they're doing is, you know, trying to make him play in the pocket. I think that's the killer to that type of quarterback. That type of quarterback, he has to use his feet. He has to use his legs. They're saying that Sam Darnold is going to make his first start of the season for the Panthers on Sunday. So the Panthers are going to start the original starter, Sam Darnold. I guess they're going to go ahead and bench Baker. They're going to bench him, and then I guess P.J. Walker, I don't know what happened with him. I don't know if he got hurt or if he just got benched. I can't remember. I thought he was doing pretty good for a minute. I mean, he had some exciting games, you know, but we'll see. You know, they're going to start Sam Darnold. So I guess Sam Darnold is the man that they're looking to give him a spark off the bench. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, a lot of stuff going on. We got World Cup. I'm trying to start rattling off some scores here in a minute. NCAA basketball action. We got some games going on. On the monitor. Let me give you a live score update on the monitor. We got, I think, the in Bermuda or Jamaica, somewhere there, Bahamas. They're playing a game, I think, in the Bahamas. So I got to see what the score is on that game. Got a lot of college basketball going on over the holiday weekend. So we got the Jayhawks and North Carolina State, Kansas Jayhawks and North Carolina State playing ball in the Battle of Atlantis. I think that's in the Bahamas. But I'll get some more notes on that and a score update for you on that. Yeah, we got tonight NBA action. The 76ers playing the Hornets. 76ers and the Hornets. Kings and the Hawks tonight. Hawks -5. Mavericks and the Celtics. Celtics -4.5. Mavericks and the Celtics. Wizards and the Heat tonight. Heat -2 over the Wizards. Heat -2 over the Wizards. Jimmy Butler will be out because of his knee. Jimmy Butler won't be playing in that game tonight because of his knee. On the monitor, they're saying brow down. The Anthony Davis, 37 points, 21 rebounds, 5 steals, 5 blocks, in a 115-105 loss to the Suns. Can the Lakers turn their season around if Davis continue to play this well? Anthony Davis again. He had 37 points, 21 rebounds, 5 steals, 5 blocks, in a 115-105 loss to the Suns. Can the Lakers turn their season around if Davis continues to play this well? I think so. I think that that Anthony Davis can, if he can stay healthy, he can continue to play like this here, because this is the way he was playing when he was in New Orleans. This is the way he was playing there, which actually led him to leave, because he's like, I'm tired of playing this well. We keep losing. We can't get out of the first round of the playoffs. I need some help. So that's one of those things to where it all depends on if Anthony Davis can stay healthy. That's just the main thing. Can Anthony Davis stay healthy enough to lead the team into the playoffs? They still got time. They definitely still have time. But it's just a matter if he can stay healthy enough. I know he's been having a lot of lower back problems and everything. North Carolina State and NCAA men's basketball. North Carolina State 25, Kansas 25, with 5:19 left in the first half. North Carolina State 4-0. They have 25 points. Kansas, number 3, Kansas 4-0, has 25 points. So it's a tie game in the battle for Atlantis. So that's where we are right there in that situation. In the Maui Invitational. Arizona topped San Diego State 87-70. Creighton topped Arkansas 90-87. Creighton over Arkansas 90-87. And the championship is going to be Creighton and Arizona in the Maui Gym Maui Invitational. Number 10 Creighton, number 14 Arizona, 5 Eastern on ESPN. Tonight the Clippers are at the Warriors in NBA action. Tonight Clippers are going to be facing the Warriors tonight in NBA action. 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, Clippers at the Warriors. I'm quite sure if Kawhi Leonard is not playing in that game, we're not going to beat the Warriors. I will forget that. Klay Thompson hit, I think he hit 40 points the other night. I think he hit about, 10 or 11 threes, something like that, they said. Yeah, I think he hit about 10 three-point shots, so that's just about 30 points right there. And then everything else from the field or the free throw line. But, yeah, he had like a 40-41 point night. And he had a good game. Klay Thompson silenced the critics that night, because everybody been kind of like saying he lost the step. Like you said, just give me time. You know, I mean, that man knows his body more than the media experts. I'm not a media expert, so I really try not to criticize these players. Like I said, these players, they only know what their body is going through. And just like with Kawhi Leonard, you know, I have to try to give him a pass, because only Kawhi knows what his body feels like. Only Kawhi knows how he's feeling, you know, with his knee and everything like that. So what it kind of looks like to me is that whatever surgery that Kawhi had, it's still some stiffness as he's trying to heal up. So that's why that's why I try not to let doctors cut on me. You know, I try not to let the doctors cut on me, because, you know, I just fear that once man start cutting on a body that God made, you know, your body just doesn't come back the way he intended for it to be when you're born, what people consider when you're born normally, when you are born in the norm, you know, what people consider normal. There is no such thing as perfection, but I'll say that. But I don't want to say God ain't perfect the way he make our bodies. But all I'm saying is that I try to avoid the doctors cutting on this God-made creation. I try not to let the doctors cut on me, because I fear that I'm not going to come back the right way. And as we're saying with Kawhi Leonard, You know, they're doing all these surgeries and everything, and you know, on these athletes, and then, you know, you're trying to heal up, but it's like, you know, for whatever reason, he's still having some stiffness in that that knee to where he can't get out there and perform like he wants to, you know. You know, again, that's, you know, you have to kind of like look at these surgeries, like, does the surgery need to really happen, or does it need to happen? Don't it need to happen? Can I avoid surgery? Because, you know, all this cutting on these guys, you know, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. But, again, it's not my body. I'm quite sure if he tore something, something needed to be reattached. So I'm not saying that the surgeon's hands aren't skillful. But for whatever reason, Kawhi Leonard has not been available. And that's a bummer, because I was hoping that we would have had him and Paul George back on the court this season together. But maybe he'll be available after the All-Star break. So maybe we just sit Kawhi Leonard down, leave him sitting down to after the All-Star break. And then after the All-Star break, he can come back, and maybe he can be dominant out there with Paul George. So the thing about Paul George, I like Paul George, but I just don't think that he's the leader. I don't think he's a leader guy. I mean, he can play, but I don't think he's a leader guy. I think that's Kawhi Leonard. Even with Kawhi being a silent guy, being you know, kind of like, you know, kind of silent, kind of, you know, don't really have much to say. I don't think he's a leader as far as like telling guys, hyping guys up. I think he's more just, I'm gonna show you through my play. I'm gonna lead you through my play. I'm going to be dominant on defense, dominant in scoring. I'm going to show you through my play what my leadership is. I'm not vocal. Maybe Paul George is more vocal, but he just doesn't have that play. He doesn't have that play like Kawhi. Kawhi is a factor. You know, that's all I'm saying. Kawhi is a factor on the basketball court. So with that being said, you know, it's a bummer that we don't have Kawhi Leonard playing tonight against the Golden State Warriors. Because if Klay is hot and Steph is hot, I'm just trying to figure out what can the Clippers do. And I follow the Clippers because they came from San Diego. I think when I was in high school, they moved from San Diego to L.A. And they've been there pretty much since I've been in California, since the 90s. And I've been in San Diego since 1992, so I think in like 88, that's the last time, around 88 or so, that's the last time I think I heard of them being in San Diego, but I could be wrong. You can definitely call into the show and correct me or debate me on that. But the biggest thing is, the point that I'm making is that I follow them because they came from San Diego, just like the L.A. Chargers came from San Diego, and I still follow them. But Clippers is my team. You know, I've always liked them. I've always liked them, you know, ever since I was in high school. I always tried to follow them and see how they were playing. Because I remember when I first came to California, they were just like, you know, you had the Lakers. And then when the Lakers left the Forum, I don't know where the Clippers were playing at during that time when the Lakers were still in the Forum. But when they built the Staples Center, they was like, oh, we're going to share the stadium with the Clippers. Everybody was like, man, why are they sharing the stadium with the sorry Clippers? But during that time, when they went to the Staples Center, the Clips were starting to get good. That's when they had the Sam Cassell on the tail end of his career. Sam Cassell, Chauncey Billups, all those guys. I think, was Kenyon Martin on that team? I can't remember. Kmart might have been on that team, but yeah, you know, it was you know, they when they moved into the Staples Center, that's when they started getting good. In World Cup action, Germany lost to Japan 2-1, final score. Japan 2, Germany 1 in World Cup action. I didn't even know that they was allowing that you could bet on World Cup action. But, yeah, they're saying that you can bet at the Caesar Sportsbook on World Cup action. Interesting. I thought soccer was one of those, you know, sports to where, you know, it's almost like the Olympics. You don't really bet on that type of stuff, you know. I didn't know that you could bet on these type of FIFA games. But World Cup action, Costa Rica lost to Spain 5-0. Spain 5, Costa Rica 0. It looks like they still got time left in the game, though, but, you know, Spain is up 5-0. Belgium against Canada, 2 Eastern. Belgium against Canada in FIFA World Cup group stage. Belgium against Canada. England hoping to have Kane on Friday. Team captain underwent a scan on his right ankle. England, which beat Iran on Monday, plays United States on Friday. England, which beat Iran on Monday, plays the United States on Friday. Germany players cover miles in FIFA protests. Apparent rebuke of FIFA's clampdown on plans to wear armbands. Plan for armband protesting discrimination in Qatar dropped. Plan for armbands protesting discrimination in Qatar dropped. Germany players cover their mouths in FIFA protests. FIFA warned players would be penalized if they wore armbands. FIFA warned players they would be penalized if they wore those armbands because over in Qatar, they don't support LGBTQ communities. They don't support LGBTQ lifestyle. They don't support LGBTQ over in Qatar. So I saw the on the monitor that the FIFA officials, if I'm correct, were like rebuking the players and the team, saying that those armbands off, you're in Qatar, you have to respect their lifestyle, you have to respect their way of living. You can't wear those armbands over here in this country supporting gay rights. Take them off. It's offensive. Take them off. And they're threatening penalizing these teams. So yeah, I mean, you know, that's interesting. You know, we're in this day and age. We're in this day and age still sitting back, you know, looking at, you know, we're in this day and age, and around the world, everybody's still kind of like living in the dark ages. I mean, this is the year 2020, almost 2023, and we're still living by a lot. I mean, I'm not a religious guy. I'm not a politician. I really try to stay away from that on my show. But I'll just say this right here. Everybody has their own interpretation of the Bible, the Quran, and whatever other holy books out there that you use as guidance. Everybody has their own interpretation of it. I feel like that some of the books were here to get us to a certain point, up to this point, to really avoid us from killing each other and to teach us to love one another and respect everybody like you want to be respected. So that's kind of like the way I look at all this here. And it's just unfortunate that over in Qatar or Qatar, however you want to put it, that they're still not allowing people to be who they are. Because, I mean, the sad part about it is they're going to be who they are behind closed doors. They're going to be who they are behind closed doors. They're just not going to be able to be who they are in public. But that doesn't mean that they are not who they are. You know, and I tell everybody, and I say this on my show, you know, well, I'll just leave it at that. I'll say it because I've said it on my show before. My daughter's part of LGBTQ community. She's part of that community, I'm not ashamed to say that. I mean, I felt like for a minute that like I was putting the business out there, but, you know, my daughter lives her lifestyle openly, her and her partner, and I respect their decision. I respect their decision. It's not my lifestyle, her choices. I respect who she loves. But I say all that to say, like I said, I don't talk religion. I don't talk politics. I'm just talking about the World Games, the World Cup in Qatar, to where basically, if you're just tuning in, all I'm saying is that it's a shame that they made the teams take off the gay rights or LGBTQ rights armbands. They won't let them protest that in Qatar or Qatar, however you want to look at it, for the World Cup. They're not allowing the guys, the teams, to protest. They're going to be penalized if they don't take off their armbands. But it looks like some teams have just found another way to protest. Look like they're covering their mouths or something in unity, protesting the fact that they can't speak against Qatar's laws of LGBTQ communities not being allowed in Qatar. So anyway, hopefully, you know, they'll wake up one day and allow people to live the life that they want to live over there, just like over here, because everybody has civil rights, including, like I said, my daughter. She's part of the LGBTQ community, and, you know, she has the right to live her life the way she wants and not be judged, and she has, you know, she has the right to have her civil rights just like everybody else who considers themselves straight. So anyway, moving on from that, this is my little take on the protest about, you know, civil rights in Qatar for LGBTQ communities. In the World Cup, Switzerland is going to be taking on Cameroon. Brazil is going to be taking on Serbia. Is this coming across the monitors? I'm just putting it out there. There was Group H. They're trying to see what Uruguay is playing South Korea. Uruguay is playing South Korea. Uruguay is playing South Korea. USA is playing England tomorrow, 1 Eastern. 10, I believe it's going to be 10 Pacific. But USA is playing England on Friday. So good luck to our guys for the U.S. men's national team. Portugal will be playing Ghana. Portugal will be playing Ghana. My good friend Eric Oduro in San Antonio, I'm quite sure he'll be watching that one. That's looks like Group A. Looks like that's Group A in the World Cup. Yeah, I'm still learning all this group stage stuff, group whatever. I'm like, you know, I don't know what to be in a certain group, but maybe you can call into the show and talk to me about it. That's 515-602-9687. 515-602-9687 if you want to call into the show and debate me or correct me or talk about anything sports related. as I said, I don't talk a whole lot about politics and religion, but I thought I would just say something since it's World Cup time and just want to let everybody know that the players aren't happy about not being able to wear their armbands supporting LGBTQ rights in Qatar. So I just thought I'd comment a little bit on that, and I kind of like took it home and, you know, let you know a little bit about my own family with my own daughter who's a part of that community. But that's the reason why I went a little bit deep on that, just talking about civil rights, human rights around the world. Packers at the Eagles. Eagles -7, Sunday, 8:20 Eastern. Packers at Eagles. Philadelphia, 300.6 yards per game allowed this season, second in the NFL. How will the Eagles defense fare against Rodgers and the Packers? How will the Eagles defense fare against Rodgers and the Packers? I think they're going to destroy the Packers. If you'd like to call in and debate me on that topic, Packers and the Eagles, call in at 515-602-9687. But, again, I think the Eagles are going to destroy the Packers. They got Eagles -7 winning that game, -7 over the Packers. I think they're probably going to beat them worse than that. The Eagles pulled one out against Indianapolis this weekend, so I think they're due for a breakout game. You know, they've had two tough games. They lost to the Washington Commanders. They almost lost to the Indianapolis Colts. The Jeff Saturday led Indianapolis Colts. They almost lost to them, but they pulled it out at the end. You know, they pulled it out at the end of the day. They pulled it out. Jalen Hurts, I think, scored the go-ahead touchdown. Go-ahead touchdown run. But, yeah, when it all comes down to it, I think that the Eagles are poised for a big game coming up on Sunday. We got the Giants at the Cowboys. Cowboys -9.5 tomorrow for Eastern on Fox. Cowboys scored on the first 7 possessions in a 40-3 win at the Vikings. Can anyone slow down Dak Prescott and the Dallas offense? Cowboys scored on the first 7 possessions in a 40-3 rout at the Vikings. Can anyone slow down Dak Prescott and his Dallas-led offense? So the big game tomorrow on Thanksgiving is going to be Giants at the Cowboys. That's going to be 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern. Giants at the Cowboys. Got Cowboys -9.5. They're going to beat the Giants. I don't think they're going to have any problem stopping Daniel Jones. They're going to keep blitzing, putting pressure on Daniel Jones. I think over the years, if I'm correct, if I'm remembering Daniel Jones' play and some of the problems that he has, is if you're not giving him enough time to think, he's not going to be able to perform well. And I think him and Zach Wilson has the same problem. If you're not giving them guys a chance to think, they don't perform well. So that's why your offensive line has to really stand up and be solid for some of these quarterbacks. Because if you're letting guys have a free run at the quarterback, you know, they don't have time to think. And it's just the way it is. The NFL is all about athleticism, and these big guys can move. These big defensive linemen, they can move. They try to get at that quarterback. You know, even with all the protection and stuff like that, quarterback now, all the rules protecting them, they still try to get after their quarterback. And so, you know, anyway, with that being said, I'm gonna go ahead on the set black and fade all because it's time for the late night dog to get out here and do some Thanksgiving stuff. I think I want to go out and pick me up a nice shirt for Thanksgiving Day. I'm going to go out and pick me up a nice shirt so I can look nice on Thanksgiving while I'm eating some turkey or whatever the case may be. I got to get out here with everybody else and do my last minute shopping and whatever the case may be, get out here and get into the mix on Thanksgiving Eve. So I want, with that being said, I'm going to let everybody else get off the line from listening to the show, and I'm going to quit bantering on. It's 9:53 a.m., so I'm going to close the show out a little bit early today, about 7 minutes early. I think I deserve a seven-minute clock out grace period. So this has been the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I want to just remind everybody to be light, not darkness, be love, not hate. Treat everyone the way you want to be treated. Pray for peace around the world. Pray for this war in Ukraine to stop. Pray for the people of Ukraine. Pray for the soldiers in Russia that don't want to be fighting this fight and that don't want to be drafted into this war. Pray for Brittany Griner during this holiday season. Pray for her family. Pray that the United States figures out a way to bring her home soon and the others that are wrongfully detained around the world. With that being said, this has been the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. This is Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I want to tell everybody Happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back on either Monday or Tuesday. I'll know by Sunday night when we're coming back. I'll post it on my Twitter thread. But with that being said, I want everybody to make sure you take your flu vaccine, keep your mask on in crowded spaces. If you're doing a family gathering for Thanksgiving, keep your mask on. If there's going to be a lot of you in the room at a time, try to rotate who's inside the house, who's outside the house, and try to, you know, social distance as much as you can because you got people coming from out of town and different stuff. So you just got to be careful. Try to keep your mask on if somebody's sneezing sick. Just everybody put your mask on and try to social, you know, just don't talk in each other's face. Try kind of like social distance as best as you can during your Thanksgiving festivities. Okay, but anyway, with that being said, Happy Thanksgiving. I'll let you know when we'll be back, either Monday or Tuesday. I'll know more Sunday night. But Happy Thanksgiving, and love one another out there, and stay safe. Keep your hand sanitizers on you. Keep your mask in your pocket and put it on in crowded spaces. Make sure you be careful for monkeypox. Make sure you get your flu shot, your COVID-19 booster, because COVID-19 is still out there. Again, get your flu shots because it's flu season. And if you need to social distance, if you got large Thanksgiving gatherings, try to monitor the numbers that's in one space at one time. But anyway, Happy Thanksgiving to you. And this has been the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California. That's WBEST, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. Have a happy Thanksgiving and have a great day. Set black, fade off.